Welcome to the ProPublica podcast. I'm David Slate, design director here at ProPublica, and I'm here with a special guest, someone whose work has spanned both the world of newsrooms and design for products and startups, Coy Vinh. Coy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Coy, you've co-founded a design firm, served as the digital design director of the New York Times, helped launch several startups, and most recently joined Adobe as their principal designer. And you've done all that while publishing books about design and maintaining a really incredibly popular blog about design and interactive design at subtraction.com. You probably know more than just about anybody about like what it's like to work across all these different places in news and in design. Right off the bat, the big question is like, what's the difference between these things? What's it like designing for startups versus designing for a newsroom?
Well, there are a lot more people at bigger companies than smaller companies. And that's really the major difference, because one of the main things that I've learned is when you're designing digital products, it's the people who work on them really matter. And the number of people involved obviously can complicate that or simplify it. So keeping the basic flame of an idea alive in a startup is much simpler and straightforward, not necessarily easier, but much more straightforward than doing so in a large organization.
So apart from like questions of scale, does the mission sort of change somehow, or does the nature of the what a designer has to do in a newsroom versus a startup fundamentally different?
Yeah, very much so. I think there's a really fundamental difference between designing in a newsroom, designing in support of journalism or trying to augment journalism and get the best journalism out there, and designing a great product that is going to get traction and lots of use and lots of growth. Those are two very different ways of thinking about design.
In moving from running your own client services firm to working in a newsroom to launching your own startups, how have you seen interactive design evolve over time from those various vantage points?
I mean, the obvious answer is the technology has changed dramatically from relatively static or, you know, not particularly robust websites to richer, much more interactive websites to really complex web-based applications, and now to mobile applications that are much more immersive than we could have really even imagined for the web like 10 years ago. So that has been a really big arc that I've seen. In terms of what a designer does, I think designers are today much more integral to figuring out how their work contributes to the business and impacts the business than was the case when I started as a designer. I mean, when designers first started working on the web, they were really carrying over a lot of the sort of vestiges of the print world, where most designers were in a service model. In a service model, the business goals are really designed before the designer even gets to start thinking about the problem.
So the solution has already largely been defined.
In many ways, yes. And the designer is left to focus on a narrower scope of work. I think what we see today is businesses that are really predicated on whether or not the design is successful. And there are a lot of mobile apps, particularly, that really rest on the design being the carrier of innovation. If you look at Instagram, for instance, I mean, it's an amazing product, and there's tons of great engineering that went into it, but there wasn't really any new tech that was brought to bear at that point. What was really new was a really wonderful, you know, incredibly canny sense of product design.
That's actually fascinating. I mean, what you're basically saying is that for a lot of these apps and services, the design is the product. They didn't create a new bit of code. They didn't create necessarily anything, a new technique other than the technique of the experience itself. So the designers made the product, really.
Yeah, that's true. And I think these things go in cycles. As technology innovations become more widespread, the differentiator becomes design. And I think we'll probably see another phase at some point where there'll be a new burst of technological innovations and opportunities that can really set products apart from one another without necessarily having to rely on design. But hopefully what we're doing in this cycle with design is really demonstrating to folks how valuable design can be as a partner to engineering, to business and marketing and sales.
As someone who's been through the news space and through the product space, more broadly, what opportunities do you see for design and user experience in news? What's missing? Where should it go?
I think there are tremendous opportunities with mobile, both for how people receive the news and also for news gathering. I think mobile changes so much about both sides of the equation. And you know, a lot of the work that we're doing at Adobe is trying to make creative workflows more robust. So that, I think, can play into it. I think the big opportunities around news are still, you know, most fundamentally around the business case. Like, how do you make news profitable and how do you do that at scale? And that's still a very, very difficult question. I think the industry is still quite turbulent. And so any kind of design innovation is that's truly going to add value really needs to be sensitive to the business question.
So you alluded to Adobe and your new role there. And so sort of pulling out a little bit more broadly, it seems like you've been writing and talking about what we call prototyping, and that's something that's relevant to news for the audience. That's figuring out new tools and techniques for how to capture an idea, how to embody it, how to like show a design to other people in the newsroom, get it in front of users so that we can demonstrate an idea, play with it, and hopefully refine it so that it's better when we launch it. Can you talk a little bit about the work that you're doing there?
So I think what's happening in what we call prototyping is really a result of the massive change that iOS and Android have brought to us over the past 5 to 7 years. Meaning, you know, when people interact with businesses, when they interact with organizations now through apps, they have really developed this kind of high expectation for very rich, very robust interfaces with a lot of motion and interfaces that respect the state that a user might be in and the time that the user might have spent in the app already. Things that are an order of magnitude more advanced than what we had on the World Wide Web like a year ago. So when we talk about prototyping, what we're talking about is the ability for a designer to express their intent for how an interface should behave, how it should move, how it should change over time, how it should react to a user's input. And that has really necessitated like a new breed of UX, UI, or user experience, or user interface prototyping software.
So if I could just interject, so what you're talking about there, again, explaining for folks in the audience who might not be familiar with traditional design, is most of us were trained, we work in software like Photoshop, where you make a still image of a web page, basically, and how hard it is to use that to capture what we expect from design now, which is design includes transitions, different states, it moves around, it reacts to environments now, and that sounds like very philosophical and high level, but really at a very on the ground level, if you look at just opening mail.app on your iOS device, there's any number of ways that things slide around, they transition, they move, that's captured very, very poorly by showing someone a picture of it.
Right.
We were joking about this before, you had walked by, or I'd shown you a whiteboard that had a sketch of a possible layout on it that I was talking with a reporter about. And in that conversation, there's very awkward moments about, oh, but it's going to move from here to here when you go between these different parts of the story. And that is so much of the experience that isn't captured there. And how do we actually show that to people and demonstrate it in a way that they don't have to imagine it in this very awkward kind of way?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think as mobile devices become more and more integral parts of every experience, you know, whether it's, you know, commercial or not, it's going to become more important for people to, for designers particularly, to be able to express like how they want those experiences to behave, how they want them to move, to transition, to change over time. And so there's really been an explosion in new tools that are trying to become the de facto standards for how designers express that intention.
Now, that sounds a little bit like what you're working on now at Adobe. Some folks in the audience might be familiar with there are two things in particular, one called Adobe Comp, which is a new Adobe product that you had actually advised on and worked, which helps designers make basically sketches of their designs and layouts entirely on an iPad or an iPhone. And then also the new product that's coming out, I believe, in 2016 called Comet, which takes that a step further and lets them basically draw lines and wires between their designs so that they become interactive. You could demonstrate it on a device, right? You can speak more to that.
Yeah. So Comp is an app that runs on your iPhone or your iPad that makes it really easy to get an idea for a layout, some juxtaposition of text and images and other design elements onto the screen as quickly as possible. And then from there, you can push it to desktop apps like Illustrator and Photoshop and soon Comp. Comp is a tool that's purpose-built for designing iPhone apps, iPad apps, Android, tablets, what have you, designing this new breed of software that's really become a central part of the way we think about the world. So it's very different from Photoshop, which we mentioned a few times, where Photoshop is really about painting a picture, a still picture, and this is really about creating an interface that you can then prototype or animate inside of the same app. So you can decide what an interface looks like, and then you can decide what a second screen might look like, and then define how one transitions into the other right inside the app. And it's really more of an end-to-end experience for defining what a designer can imagine in his or her head in terms of the product that they're trying to get to market.
Do you feel like this is where interactive design is going?
Yeah, absolutely. I really feel like the era of designing things in a still or flat or not interactive way is really starting to fade away. And we're really entering a stage now for design where it's just as important to define the behavior as it is to define the way things look or how they're laid out.
Corey, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to the ProPublica podcast, and tune in next week for the next episode.